This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. This story has multiple parts. To listen to the entire story in one place, visit talltaletv.com/series. Of Portals and Portents by Leslie Herron. Chapter 5, Celsian.
Is everyone all right?
Elias dusted off his sleeves as he looked around the room. The sudden weather burst of blue lightning had faded, along with the rumbling of the ground. Tragedy, his bodyguard, gave a firm nod of his porcelain and bone mask, and Wilfred twisted his features into a scowl. A sign he took to mean no serious damage had befallen the old man. That just left...
Eric? Down here.
Eric pulled his hands off his head and peered out from beneath the desk.
I'm fine.
What are you doing down there? Cowering?
Of course not.
Steadying himself on a chair, Eric clambered back out into the open, keeping his wary eyes glued to the countless mirrors in the room.
I was just following standard earthquake safety protocols.
There was nothing standard about what just happened, boy.
Shooting the old man a scowl of his own, Elias pulled his glasses from his face and thumbed clean the lenses. He looked back at his doppelganger.
Tell me again how you managed to convince an entire nation that you were me?
As he pushed his spectacles back on his face, he looked around at the aftermath of the chaos. Relatively underwhelming, he thought. Several mirrors lay shattered at the base of the wall, and almost everything had been coated in a thin layer of dust loosed from the rafters.
Do you have any idea what that was all about?
Scratching at that spot behind his ear, Eric turned to the ancient computer. It was still happily humming away, as if the entire room hadn't just threatened to collapse around it. The eyes of the robot it was connected to flashed several times as it processed the stabilization routines. He adjusted his own glasses on his face as he squinted at the dust-coated screen. A single line of green text flashed beneath his code. Build successful. Wide-eyed, he whipped around.
It worked! I'm sorry, my ears are still ringing from the chaos.
Elias pushed against his temples, massaging away the pain.
Did you just say it worked?
Eric's eyes shot up to where the blue fissure had hung, only to find that space empty, the lingering scent of ozone left behind.
Wait, what happened to the rift?
He swiveled on his heel, scanning the room.
Perhaps your view from beneath the desk was not as enlightening as my own. Shackled to this chair. Might I suggest you check outside?
Wilfred's craggy voice rose from the corner once more.
Go! Go see the damage your idiotic plan has wrought. Weep for the countless dead, and when you return...
He lifted his manacled arms weakly.
Grant me my freedom from this insanity.
Eric exchanged a worried look with the king. The portal was supposed to have stabilized inside this room as a tiny, permanent window that opened well outside of Avis. More a proof of concept than a practical trade route. If it had moved, that could be bad. Seeing the wizard's words for what they really were, Elias only smiled in return.
You cannot bait me, old man. If we have succeeded, there will only be tears of joy.
He swung an arm out, lazily gesturing to the only door in the room.
Shall we then?
Letting out a long breath, Eric reached for the gallery door. Wilfred was right. The only way to know was to see for themselves. If it had opened up in some less than ideal location, like the middle of a busy street or inside a wall, well, they would have to fix that somehow. But it was a single portal, hardly worthy of the old man's prediction of countless dead. So focused on his thoughts, Eric opened the door and nearly walked off the edge of a stone landing before the king reached out and pulled him back. He felt a burst of exhilaration as he stared into an open chasm of twisting staircases, stone arches, and a chaotic tangle of hallways and landings filled with ominous red doors. He let out a small, half-terrified chuckle. It was all moving. Elias couldn't fight his own smile that curved at his mouth as he took in the true nature of the infinite tower.
It's marvelous.
He let out a bark of laughter as he watched a staircase two floors down twist and move before inverting itself to reach a landing somewhere above them.
Oh, this is bad. This is really bad.
He knew they had been at odds lately, but Eric couldn't argue with his shadow bug this time. He moved down an unfamiliar staircase, taking it one hesitant step at a time in order to avoid being launched into space as it swayed beneath him. He glanced over his shoulder at the king.
I think we broke the pocket universe. No more than this place deserves.
Elias watched a red door jump, as if surprised at the sight of them, and scurry off down a darkened hall.
Although, you make a fair point.
He frowned as he pulled to a stop, turning to his bodyguard.
Tragedy, please do your best to locate the queen. I'm sure she's all in a panic at the moment.
With a nod, the man pushed past them and disappeared obediently into the nearest hallway. Elias watched him go before turning to his doppelganger.
Any idea where the exit might be?
Shrugging weakly, the best response Eric could manage was, The sound of footsteps pulled his mumbled words to a stop, and he looked up. The king's bodyguard was walking upside down along an inverted catwalk. There went that nervous tick of his again, his hand shooting up to scratch at a spot behind his ear. Gravity was relative to the individual surfaces. Good to know.
Yep, we broke physics.
Elias let out a chuckle.
Yes and no. I've been considering this for a while, and it confirms some of my suspicions. The Infinite Tower always lived up to that name, constantly changing. You could walk through a door and be in a brand new location each time. Impossible, right?
He gestured to the expanse around them with a shake of his head.
No, I think it has always been like this. But space simply warped around us to make it feel as though we were traversing from one place to another. Miniature folds in reality that hid the connective tissue and let us teleport without knowing.
He watched his doppelganger come to the same realization and felt his smile widen.
We merely flattened the folds, and this is what's left.
The sheer amount of magic and scientific know-how that went into creating the pocket universe, and the two of them managed to undo it in a matter of weeks. Eric felt a sickening feeling settle into his gut. If what they had done had affected their immediate surroundings this badly, then the old wizard was starting to sound a lot less crazy. Elias pushed against one of the doors, opening it to reveal an abandoned aquarium. The smell of pond scum and decay hit him hard in the nose as he averted his eyes from the thousands of tanks filled with murky green water. He followed a winding path that led him through the room, past a terrifying, partially decomposed kelpie floating in green liquid, to reveal a door at the other end. They were back out on a stone landing, staring up at the platform they had just left. They continued to make their way through the castle, navigating the twists and turns with endless staircases and random doors. Elias felt a rush of euphoria with each new room. There was an endless library filled with floor-to-ceiling bookshelves that bowed beneath the weight of 1,000 tomes. They stopped to ponder the giant arthropod encased within a massive iceberg that had been locked between two freezing charms. One room even contained a thriving miniature ecosystem complete with man-eating plants that sought them hungrily. So focused on their experiments in the gallery, neither of them had seen much of what the Infinite Tower had to offer. Eric desperately wanted to spend more time exploring the thousands of rooms, his curiosity hungering for more. So, it was almost a disappointment when he stepped out onto a dusty tiled floor. He stared up at the impossibly large doors that he knew led outside.
Moment of truth.
Elias licked his lips before he hauled back on the mechanism that released the locks. The pink light of dawn poured in, nearly blinding them as they stepped out into tall grass and cobblestones. There were roads and trees mixed with brick homes and cars? An entire cityscape had been plopped down into the clearing outside the tower, occupying the same space as much of the surrounding flora and fauna. Spindly trees were protruding from stone, and unsuspecting birds were barricaded inside houses. People, so many people, were running around, wide-eyed and frightened. Eric's mind was slowly coming to terms with what his eyes were seeing. This had to be Avis. He darted into the street, nearly tripping as his flip-flops slid on the slick mud that seemed to coat everything. He looked up to see the remnants of a giant disc, now in shambles thanks to the great river Teviot. It had carved clean through the middle of the city.
What is going on?
Elias dragged a hand down over his mouth.
This isn't right.
He looked around, worry and confusion warring with an odd sense of achievement.
The city was supposed to appear several miles from the tower, not around it.
His hand outstretched to help the nearest person, Eric pulled to a complete stop. He turned around, a frown hardening his face.
What do you mean, supposed to appear?
Elias gave his twin a pleading look.
I didn't think you would agree, so what did you do?
Caught off guard by the sudden display, Elias staggered back a step to keep his balance. He looked down into the twisted face of rage, a mask he had worn so often himself, but seeing it from the other end took him by surprise.
I made a choice, and I taught myself how to alter your code while you slept. We're just bringing back the portal network to reopen trade with the other worlds. That's what you told me.
Eric grabbed the king by the collar of his shirt, tugging against it until their faces were almost touching.
This was just supposed to be about us opening permanent gateways, not fusing two places together. I ruled this city, and I care for its people.
Elias let out a long exhale through his nose.
I pulled it here because I wanted to give them access to magic, to make their lives better. And in turn, their technology could push Ebra into a new age, well in advance of the rest of this world. Is that what this was all about?
Eric relinquished his grasp, his face contorting in horror.
Weapons?
Elias held up a hand.
If you want to be a reductionist, yes. This world, my world, is woefully under-equipped for the war that the Brotherhood monks bring. But that is merely the beginning.
He gave a meager gesture to the ruinous city laid out before them.
Once the Brotherhood is no longer a threat, we can bring the height of modern comforts to everyone. Back on its world, Avis was facing foes of its own, ones that could pose a true threat. But here it is the height of power. With magic and technology combined, there is no nation that could stand against it. It's better for everyone. Everyone but the people who died.
Eric shoved him away, stepping out into the street. His eyes cast around the remnants of buildings jutting up out of the river.
I get why you did it. I don't agree with it, but I understand.
He turned back around, facing the king.
By not telling me your whole plan, however, the math for this was entirely wrong. You lied to me and killed how many people? Look at the destruction.
He threw a hand up behind him without looking.
Your miscalculation brought down a quarter of the plate. Countless dead. Just like Wilfred told us.
Elias lowered his eyes.
You're right. I should have confided in you. And all those deaths are mine to atone for.
He looked back up into the streets he had once known so well.
I will have to live with what happened. But what's done is done. For now, we have a city that needs our help.
Leave him. It is his mess. He can fix it. Let's go find your brother.
Eric caught the twitch of an expression from his twin.
Wraith, he's right. We have to help those who are left. Vela's either all right where he is, or...
His shoulders slumped once more. His anger spent and his outburst fizzled.
Or we'll find him this way. Sir.
Tragedy stumbled to a stop before them, bending over to suck in deep gulps of air.
There's a problem.
He held up a rolled parchment in his hand.
The queen was not in her quarters.
Elias reached out, snatching up the paper. He unfurled it, quickly scanning through his beloved's narrow, loopy handwriting.
I cannot, in good faith, continue to follow you in your conquest of the Brotherhood. What you are doing now is no different than what they did to my people. Innocents are being persecuted for crimes they have yet to commit. Please, take the night to sleep on it. If you agree with me and let this course of action go, then I will gladly stay by your side. If not, I shall return to Bastion Hall to carry out my duties there. Please, my love, see reason. I will be down by the river until dawn to allow you time to think. Forever yours, Pyra Falkgrave.
The last words of the letter played over and over in Elias's mind.
The river!
He dropped the note and ran. Long strides carried him in the direction he had seen her walk so often. He sprinted through familiar cobblestone streets, over broken fences and twisted vehicles, until he stumbled to a stop at the edge of Teviot's bank. Much of the terrain had been altered with the fusion, but it didn't take him long to find a familiar contour of the river. This was the spot where his wife would sit for hours, dipping her toes into the water. Instead of his queen, he found a monstrous slab of concrete and steel rebar sat in her place. He swayed on the spot, feeling as though the world was shaking once more. Desperation drove him to dig his fingers beneath the edge of the rubble and haul upwards. It strained him to his very core, and soon his muscles and tendons were screaming in agony. Helias knew it was useless, but he didn't know what else to do. He had to know. There was a rustle in the reeds next to him, and Elias turned to see his bodyguard slipping on the muddy banks of the river. Without a word, Tragedy moved in next to him and began to lift as well.
What?
Eric skid to a stop, pausing to catch his breath.
What about the river?
One of his knees gave a visceral pop, and Elias let out a feral scream. He steadied himself, shifting his weight to his other leg, and heaved again.
Oh!
Putting two and two together, Eric dove in beside the others and grabbed hold of a metal protrusion. Regretting his failure to take the Tiny Merc's advice to never skip leg day, he mentally asked Wraith for help.
If we do this, it could kill you.
If your little revenant can offer nothing but snide remarks, then tell him to keep quiet!
Elias snapped with a snarl, doubling down on his efforts to move the slab. He looked over at his twin, but addressing the shadow around him.
Pull from the land, you idiot! Don't use your host as an energy source when there is more than enough around you!
Eric felt a trembling, cowering sensation in his mind. The comment had been oddly specific, meaning the king could not only sense Wraith, but hear him.
It's all right, buddy. You can use me. I'd prefer that, actually.
He looked down at his poor choice of footwear.
Let them do most of the heavy lifting, though.
Shadow bubbled up around his fingers, and he could feel the telltale pull on his soul as strength surged through him. The slab shifted, just an inch. With renewed vigor, the three of them cried out in agony as they doubled their efforts. Eric knew there wasn't enough of his shade to lift this chunk of rubble. It was like trying to move a mountain. He felt something pop in his right arm, and a searing pain numbed his fingers. Sweat began to build on Elias's brow as he fought to find the strength to remove this chunk of the city. He had to know. No, he needed to see. But there, in the back of his mind, a familiar tickle begged for attention. An inkling, a kindling of ancient knowledge that promised a solution. It was a risk, but he had proven his control before. With a lick of his lips, Elias focused his intent. He cleared his mind of his emotions, and he began to pull from the soil beneath his feet. A surge of energy coursed through his veins, and he felt his fingers press into the concrete as though it were merely sand.
Look out!
Eric let go, stumbling back as he watched the ground around them begin to decay. The vibrant green reeds withered before his very eyes, and the soil turned to ash. He looked up to see black tendrils of shadow erupt from beneath the king's feet and wrap around him, enveloping him in a gentle embrace. With a cry of desperation, Elias forced the edge of the slab above his head. His fingers clenched down on the rubble, and with a mighty crack, it snapped in two and began to crumble. His eyes saw what he needed to see and dropped what was left. He looked down at his hands to see the familiar sight of a glittering void. He had to act quickly before the sleeping goddess within fully awoke. He cleared his mind once more and, with a directed effort, expelled the excess energy in his body, starving Ravaria before she could take root. The resulting shockwave was strong enough to knock the others off their feet. Eric was pushed backwards into the mud, and he heard a cry of pain as tragedy was slammed into a nearby tree.
What the hell was that?
He scrambled to his feet, moving to the king's bodyguard.
Do you have any idea how bad that could have been if you lost control? This city is already in shambles, and you risk them to lift a rock? Come here, Tragedy. Let me look at your arm.
I'm fine. Back off.
The man made to shove the false king aside, but a throbbing pain in his forearm nearly caused him to black out. He clutched at it with his free hand and was surprised to find blood oozing through the fabric. The impact hadn't been that bad. He had taken worse without a scratch.
And I'm a doctor. Let me see.
The sound of the argument never reached Elias's awareness as he sank to his knees at the water's edge. Hot tears leaked from his eyes and streamed down his face as the full weight of his actions slammed into him. This was his fault. It was not his intention for people to die, but now his city was bisected by a river and thousands were dead. Including his wife. There, nestled in the depression left in the mud, a glittering teal brooch offered up its cracked surface to Elias. He reached down and pulled it from the dirt, running his thumb across it. He had bought this in Sharmor for Pyra, along with a promise that soon they would be able to live out their days together. A sad tickle of a smile hit him when he remembered how giddy she had become upon seeing it. He closed his fingers around the jewel and pressed it tight against his chest.
Halt! Your presence is not allowed here.
Elias felt a heavy hand slam down on his shoulder that pulled him to his feet. He was spun around and came face to sternum with a monstrous metal man. Composed of copper and brass, it stood a staggering 8 feet in height and was roughly twice his size and width. Two tiny eyes flashed red as a thin antenna appeared above its head, twinkling madly.
Failure to comply will result in your immediate disposal.
We thank you for joining us for this chapter of the novel Of Portals and Portents, Book 4 by Leslie Herron, in this ongoing series available here on Tall Tale TV. You can find links in the description to where you can listen to all her books and novellas, with new chapters appearing as they are being written and recorded.
I think I was bloody errand boy. Go do this, go do that. Your Majesty. Bloody tower, bloody changing all the time. Doors everywhere. Your Majesty. Nope, not there. Seriously. Your Majesty? Not in there either. Your... Nope. I don't get paid enough for this.